I got time for that.
Hey. Good morning and welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a little absurdity. Hoping you're having a great Tuesday. It's the first day of October, and it feels like July. I noticed earlier our high here in the lovely heart of the Southlands will be 97. 97 today. It's October 1st. Would somebody please tell the weather it's fall? It's just lunacy. But here's the thing. Things are changing by the weekend, and this time next week, things will be supposedly normal, according to those who forecast the weather. Good morning and welcome aboard. It's good to have you in today. I hope you are having a great day so far, wherever and whenever you may be. If you're listening live on the Facebook feed, hey, good to have you along this morning. If you're listening via podcast at some other time, thank you for joining in, and hopefully you have subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, you can do so very easily. Just use your favorite podcast feed aggregation software. That's Apple Podcasts or iTunes, depending on what they're calling it today. Google Podcasts. You can also get us on Spotify. That's me and the dog. And you can also go over to the website. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You can find links for subscribing there, or just listen live, or listen right there. There's a player on the website. Vocabulary just went out the window. A player on the website where you can listen to the latest one, or go back in the archives and listen back to previous programs in case you missed something and you'd like to hear something from another day. It's all right there. But get on board, get subscribed, and you'll have it delivered to you if you use a subscription process. You'll have it delivered to you every day after I get it posted. And I post the podcast pretty much within a half hour after we finish up the live version of the program. Where are we going here? I've got a handful of things to talk about today. The vast majority of it revolves around the current effort by the Democrats to derail the presidency of the man that America elected to be the president of the United States after seeing what the other choice was. And it's a pretty bizarre situation. But before I go there, I want to go here. And that is, you've probably by now seen the video of Antifa protesters accosting an elderly couple in a crosswalk. I don't have it open in front of me right now, but you've probably seen it. It was a little group, a ragtag group of Antifa protesters who hide their identity behind masks. They cover their faces. They're screaming at this elderly couple, this couple just trying to cross the street to go home, calling them Nazis, using foul language. And what is it about the progressive left? What is it about this vocabulary of theirs that includes all manner of foul language? Oh, Mark, you're just being repressive. No, I think there are certain societal norms. There are certain things that we accept and that we don't accept. And honest, thinking, rational people don't appreciate it when you step off into dropping the F-bomb every other word. It doesn't make you look tough. It makes you look like a punk, an idiot, a moron. It makes you look weak, actually, mentally weak. So stop it. I know you won't. You're probably dropping the F-bomb at me right now if you're listening. But there's something about that. You know, it's just revolting. And those of us who are older, got a little bit of life experience, got a little bit of mileage, see it for what it truly is. It happened, by the way, I found it. It happened in Ontario, Canada. It was at Mohawk College. And there were some conservatives speaking there, and Antifa showed up to protest, and they accosted this elderly couple. The older lady's actually, she's got one of those wheeled walkers that you can store stuff in and have a seat on if you get tired. And they're in a crosswalk, a public crosswalk on a public street, just trying to get across the street to get home. And these people are going off on them. They're a hate group, Antifa is. They're terrorizing and disrespecting the elderly. And something will at some point have to be done about them. There needs to be some sort of truthful, honest clarification about what these people actually are. When you watch what they're doing, covering their faces, hiding their identities, screaming and yelling, protesting against things that really, in many cases, aren't even happening, it harkens back to the same thing that happened in, well, it's happened in every country where socialism has been pushed on the society. The clueless younger people, as someone famously called them, useful idiots, head to the streets and create chaos. And that's exactly what's happening here on U.S. soil. As younger people who have been lied to take to the streets to create chaos around rational, reasonable, honest events. We really do need to do something about it. I don't know what. We need to recognize Antifa for what it is. They're a domestic terrorist organization. They're an offshoot of of many things that have occurred before them here in this country. And they hide themselves behind masks. I think probably a first step in the process would be for cities across the nation to ban masks for public protests. If you're going to protest in the public square, then the public deserves to know who you are. And if you will not let us know who you are, then you will not get the permit to protest. I think that should be a good first step. But then we have brainless people in charge of cities across the country who will object to that. Progressives. I think that's an interesting name for people who are truly regressive. But progressives who will not enact anything like that because, doggone it, that's just oppressive. No, actually, if you want to talk about oppression, talk about the end result of what these people in Antifa want. They call themselves anti-fascists. And every time they step out in public, they're practicing fascism by shutting down freedom of speech. Shifting a gear here, just before I left to go get surgery and took a couple of months off, trust me, it was not a vacation. I mentioned something about Al Franken, and it looked to me like Al Franken was working on getting himself back in the public eye, and that I thought that possibly there were those around him who were working to get him publicity with the end result of getting him back in office somehow. And I have not changed my opinion about that. And the reason I say that is because if he truly was remorseful for what he had done, he would go find something else to do. But he can't stay out of the public eye. And in fact, he just got a satellite radio show gig. So he's getting back, not on a local level, but on a national level, into the public eye, which I think, in his thinking, is a step back towards serving in office again. Well, he's hit a big speed bump. According to an article from the freebeacon.com, a former Democratic Senate staffer has become number 9, the 9th woman to accuse former Senator Al Franken of sexual misconduct. The unnamed woman is a military veteran and former staffer for Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, and she leveled a groping accusation against Franken in a New York Magazine report published yesterday. She met Franken during a 2006 photo op when he was first considering running for office. She says, and I'm just going to quote the article here, "He puts his hand on my ass. He's telling the photographer, 'Take another one. I think I blinked. Take another one.' And I'm just frozen. It's so violating. And then he gives me a little squeeze on my buttock and I'm bright red. I don't say anything at the time, but I felt deeply, deeply uncomfortable." Franken's actions, she said, shattered her confidence and her dream of one day running for office. She added that she burst into tears when the initial Franken allegations emerged, and she considered speaking up at the time. She chose not to after reflecting upon another incident in which her sexual harassment complaints went unheeded. Can we get details on that, or we're supposed to trust all women? I understand, yeah. The newest accusation comes 2 days after the launch of Franken's SiriusXM radio show, and 2 months after The New Yorker published an article by journalist Jane Meyer arguing that all 8 of Franken's accusers were mistaken or lying. 7 Democratic senators told Meyer they regretted calling for Franken's resignation. Franken, remember, first came under fire in 2017 when Leanne Tweeden, she's a model, she accused him of unwanted kissing during a 2006 USO tour. This was before he was a senator. Tweeden also produced a now infamous photo of Franken pretending to grope her while she was sleeping during their comedy tour. And if you'll recall, at the time, this was all becoming public. During the Mark and Mac show, Dave Mack and I talked about this. And his sophomoric juvenile behavior. And how he believed he could get away with it just because he was a public personality. He believed he was entitled. He's actually said so. "I'm a public personality. It's my privilege," he has said, "to misbehave with women." I think Al's going to have a little trouble clawing his way back into political office, because that's what I think he's trying to do. I think he's walking back up that ladder. He's climbing back up the ladder that he climbed up before, and he's trying to get back into public office again. If you don't remember, you should do some digging about how he got into public office back when he did. In a very, very tight race for his seat, which seemed to produce magically more votes for him every time the votes were recounted. And his vote was crucial to passing Obamacare. Coincidence? I think not. But Al Franken has been accused by a 9th woman of sexual harassment, of misconduct. Honestly, I think Franken fits in perfectly with the rest of the leftists in Washington, D.C. He has serious issues with the truth. He cannot be honest with people or himself. And he believes everyone else is at his disposal. That they are merely tools to use for his desired end results. And that, in a nutshell, is what a politician is. They run on noble causes. They talk about the things they want to do for the people. They talk about fairness. They talk about equality. They talk about doing what's right for the country or for wherever they're running for office. And when they actually get there, things are very, very different. They never seem to fulfill what they promise they're going to do. Al Franken's a good example. He's just been caught with his hand, so to speak, in the cookie jar. Oh, my gosh. You know, I told my wife not too long back, all of this stuff really does make me sick. I'd really love to have a vacation away from all this stuff. And I've been out, I've been unplugged. Well, I haven't been unplugged, but I've been sort of out of it for 2 months. And still, I'm sick and tired of all this stuff. But we have to keep an eye on it. Because if we don't keep watching them, you never know what they'll do to us. Why is it some of the bumper music sounds like what you hear on bad cable TV ads? I picked it out. I don't know. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here, hoping you're having a great Tuesday, the first day of October 2019. And if you're listening in the future, that's when this happened. Hey, if you're listening in the past, I'd like to know how. There's still more to go. We're going to be talking about fear. There's fear that's starting to swell up from a certain side of things, and we'll talk about that. And let's see. Hopefully, we'll get to some other stuff, some silly stuff. Well, here, I'll just touch on that real quick. Let me scroll over here and see if I've actually got that real quickly before we get into anything serious. Cory Booker, who is running for president, he's at 0% in the polls. Zero. I mean, the man has nobody. They're just not interested in him. But he's saying he's a candidate. He's saying he sees a viable path to victory. He's just narrowly met a $1.7 million fundraising goal just hours before the campaign's self-imposed deadline. See, he set a deadline for raising $1.7 million in order to put pressure on those who might donate. And he just met it, and he's hoping to round that up to about $2 million. He wants another $300,000. He's trying to raise that much more, and he's just not showing up. Zero in the polls, but he has a viable chance. He's been throwing money like crazy. He's been throwing money at his campaign like mad, which is why he's having so much trouble. He's spending a lot of money. He's down there at the very bottom, trying desperately to be relevant. And nobody's taking him seriously. They're just not. And honestly, the only thing they should take seriously about this guy is his twisted leftist worldview. They should be very aware that Cory Booker is just one more of the loony leftists who are running for president. I mean, the only way this guy's got a shot is if all of the rest of them are on a plane, including Hillary Clinton, I might add, are all on a plane that goes down in the Pacific or the Atlantic or in the Andes Mountains. I mean, you pick your destination. That's the only chance this guy's got. And then he's going to be the Democrat. He would be the Democrat nominee, the Democrat candidate going up against Donald Trump. If he's at 0% right now and he went up against Donald Trump because everybody else died in a horrible plane crash, do you think he'd have a chance of winning? I don't think so. So, bless his heart, there's just a little something to laugh about on the first day of October. Cory Booker, polling at 0%, insists he has a viable path to the 2020 nomination. God love him. Bless his heart. You Southerners know exactly what that means. Well, on yesterday's Today Show on NBC, they were the only network morning show to cover the State Department reopening an investigation into Hillary Clinton's email scandal. However, the entire report was designed to discredit the probe. They even touted Clinton telling CBS Sunday Morning's Jane Pauley that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. Co-host Savannah Guthrie said, on her case, the State Department resurrects the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, why career diplomats are suddenly in the crosshairs. That's what she said at the top of the show. Minutes later, she introduced the story by telling viewers that a topic that dominated headlines during the 2016 presidential election, Hillary Clinton's email, was back in the headlines. No, actually, it's really not, unless you're looking at conservative media. It's not in the headlines. Everybody else pretty much is ignoring it. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent and Clinton apologist Andrea Mitchell began her report by warning, quote, the State Department has revived an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails and is now expanding it to include career diplomats who have never even sent her messages directly. The new probe striking fear among many in the diplomatic corps. See, I said we were going to be talking about fear. This is just the first story about fear. After deriding the email scandal as a favorite attack line by President Trump against his former opponent, Mitchell highlighted one former diplomat, hinting at a Trump administration conspiracy. Quote, one of those involved former Assistant Secretary of State Jeffrey Feltman, who left the State Department in 2012, told NBC News, I'd like to think this is routine, but something strange is going on. The reporter further hyped, quote, another former State Department official telling NBC, they've now expanded the investigation beyond Clinton's aides to career diplomats who could lose their jobs or never get confirmed for another post. Shock! Horror! Career diplomats, political tools, could lose their jobs or never get confirmed for another post. Why? Why would that happen? If they were dirty, doing dirty dealings, then they should be eliminated from their jobs and stricken from any potential possibility of future jobs in our government. Well, at that point, Mitchell featured a soundbite of Clinton recklessly pushing the conspiracy theory that Trump was not legitimately elected president. She told CBS's Jane Pauley, quote, he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. So, of course, he's obsessed with me. And I believe that it's a guilty conscience in so much as he has a conscience. Wow. Well, rather than fact check those wildly irresponsible claims, Andrea Mitchell concluded the slanted segment with this declaration, quote, the State Department has not responded to our requests for comment, but some veteran diplomats tell NBC News they see the apparent reopening and expansion of the Clinton email probe as an attempt to resurrect the issue to damage Democrats in 2020. The move could also sully the reputations of some of the most highly respected career diplomats. It's amazing how uninterested a supposed journalist like Andrea Mitchell has been in the Clinton email scandal. When it first broke in September of 2015, she hoped the FBI would close this down quickly, her words. After ex-FBI Director James Comey sent a letter to Congress in late October of 2016 notifying lawmakers of further investigation into the scandal, Mitchell was inconsolable. Let's back up just a little bit. He knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did, so of course he's obsessed with me, and I believe that it's a guilty conscience in so much that he has a conscience. He knows there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. Translation. He and his cohorts in the Republican Party rigged the election. There was fraud. Now, no Democrat will ever come out and use those exact words, because for so long they have denied that voter fraud happens. Why? Because they're actively engaged in vote fraud. They deny it at every possible opportunity. They shake their heads, they cluck their tongues, say, oh, those silly Republicans, they just can't win. So they're blaming us for everything. And that's exactly what Hillary Clinton has just done. Another thing to remember. When you hear a leftist, a Democrat, a progressive accusing someone else of doing something horrible, of being involved in a certain kind of behavior or background conspiracy, you can just about bet the farm they're doing exactly that thing. And I've told you before, and I'll say this again, and I won't change my opinion about this, I believe the Clinton campaign and the DNC were involved in massive election rigging. I believe that's why they and their pets in the progressive press, the mainstream news media, were so confident that Hillary would win and that Donald Trump had zero chance of winning the 2016 presidential election. Up until the polling data started coming in election night, they were all laughing and shaking their heads and poo-pooing the idea that there ever could be a President Donald Trump. No way that could happen. And as the results came in, they were more and more and more shocked and disheartened. They were convinced because they all thought the fix was in. They thought it was a done deal. Thank God they were wrong. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. It is the first day of October. We are already into autumn. But here in the sunny Southlands, it feels like August. It's just, I said that at the top of the program. That's just what it just feels like August. I will be very, very happy when the next week comes and we have some cooler weather here. Hopefully all is well where you are. If you live anywhere in the Northeast, in the Rockies, somewhere up there, you're getting snow. Good for you. I've been watching the video and seeing the pictures deep in envy, wishing that I could feel some of that cold air. But the thing about that cold air is once it hits, you better be ready with all your winter clothes. I'm tired of the heat. Anyway, I was talking about fear and article after article that I've been seeing lately. It's all about fear. And this all kind of relates back to a Twitter thread that I shared over the weekend on social media, on the Daily Perspective podcast, Facebook and Twitter accounts, about things that look like they're about to drop. And I don't have that open right in front of me right now, but if you scan back through my Twitter feed and through the Facebook posts, you'll see that particular Twitter thread. And there's a lot of things happening right now. Let's just say that on the Inspector General and on the Attorney General's stove, there are dozens of eyes and there are pots all over the stove about to come to a boil. And we're about to start seeing the steam. And that's what's producing a lot of this fear. A lot of fear. So much so that Paul Krugman, who's never gotten anything right, by the way, he's an economist. He's a New York Times op-ed columnist. He's predicted, did this Friday evening, that either thousands of journalists will be imprisoned ostensibly because of the administration, or President Donald Trump will end up in jail. And then he goes on, I won't read the article. I'll let you find that. In fact, I'll put it in the show notes here. Let me do a quick copy and paste and move this up because I pulled it up from the bottom of my list. It's something I didn't think I'd get to. So it'll be in the show notes today. Just go over to dailyperspectivepodcast.com after the show. And if you're listening to podcast, it's there right now. And it'll be at the tag end, the bottom end of the show notes. It's an article. In the article, he basically says that if you look at the history of all these tyrannically run dictatorships around the world, that the press is the first to suffer. And he's right about that. Shocker. But the proper context is this. Everybody on the left who's running for office now believes in a system, a form of government, which ignores our founding and our founding's protections against tyranny. And as a result, the end result of what they want to gift our country, the great things they want to do for this nation, the end result has played out time and time and time again in tyranny. We learn from history or we repeat it. Paul Krugman has not learned from history. He denies it. And people like Paul Krugman all deny it. Everybody in the Democrat clown car running for president right now, they're all in denial. Just like Krugman. And they're all afraid. And they're trying to sow more seeds of fear. We can't let this president win. If we let this president win, he's going to lock the press up. We're all going to jail. No. When you tell the truth, you have nothing to fear. When you manufacture, when you create out of thin air and out of conspiracy theory stories to enrage or fan flames of fear, then you are the fake news he's talking about. Another story that's striking fear is a Wall Street Journal op-ed written by a former Attorney General Michael Mukasey. This was in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. And Roger L. Simon over at PJ Media wrote an article. It says this: if I were a Democrat, I would be afraid. I would be very afraid. After reading former Attorney General Michael Mukasey's Monday WSJ op-ed called John Durham's Ukrainian Leads, the subtitle is, "What the prosecutor has found may be quite different from what the Democrats are looking for." Mukasey begins, "Americans often boast that we are a nation of laws, but for the moment, laws appear to play a decidedly secondary role in the drama we are living in and hopefully through." True enough, but the nub of the article, which returns to the rule of law, comes further on, saying, "True. Much media and political effort has gone into sometimes close and often willful parsing of President Trump's July 25th conversation with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ironic when you consider Mr. Trump's well-known linguistic promiscuity, not to mention the celebrated whistleblower complaint, which contains no first-hand information. Little notice has been given, however, to another document lying in plain sight, a Justice Department press release issued the day the conversation transcript became public. That Justice Department statement makes explicit that the president never spoke with Attorney General William Barr about having Ukraine investigate anything relating to former Vice President Biden or his son, or asked him to contact Ukraine on this or any other matter, and that the Attorney General has not communicated at all with Ukraine. It also contains the following morsel, quote, "A Department of Justice team led by U.S. Attorney John Durham is separately exploring the extent to which a number of countries, including Ukraine, played a role in the counterintelligence investigation directed at the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. While the Attorney General has yet to contact Ukraine in connection with this investigation, certain Ukrainians who are not members of the government have volunteered information to Mr. Durham, which he is evaluating." The number of countries includes the UK and Italy, the latter of which was just visited by one William Barr. So what's going on? Here's more from Mukasey. "The definitive answer to the obvious question, what's that about, is known only to Mr. Durham and his colleagues, but publicly available reports, including by Andrew McCarthy in his new book, Ball of Collusion, suggest that during the 2016 campaign, the Federal Bureau of Investigation tried to get evidence from Ukrainian government officials against Mr. Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, to pressure him into cooperating against Mr. Trump. When you grope through the miasma of Slavic names and follow the daisy chain of related people and entities, it appears that Ukrainian officials who backed the Clinton campaign provided information that generated the investigation of Mr. Manafort. acts that one Ukrainian court has said violated Ukrainian law and led to interference in the electoral processes of the United States in 2016 and harmed the interests of Ukraine as a state. So this is one reason that people on the left are beginning to shake with fear. This investigation, this wide-ranging investigation, is beginning to bear fruit. It's clear that the biggest story of 2019, maybe 2020, is yet to come, and it won't be impeachment. The Russia probe, Russia, is being turned on its head. Those who sought to use lies and disinformation and misinformation against the Trump campaign and against a sitting president are all nervous, which explains, think about this, it explains the impeachment push. They know they have to do everything they can to discredit the president in the eyes of the general public. And they hope that enough people will believe the lies that they're weaving, that they can get away with it. You see, we've talked about this before. Most people get their information from the evening news around dinner time, get home from work, prop their feet up, take a breather, turn on the news. But they don't dig beyond that. I know I've seen that happen in family visits. I go to visit family. Hey, let's watch the news. And I sit there shaking my head. Whoa. How can they? They're saying, wow, that's not true. But that's where a lot of people get their information, which is why it's important for you and I, you and me, we have to stay on top of things and help people know the truth. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Talking about fear. People just in fear of what's happening. And I tell you, there are a lot of people in fear. They're afraid that the Democrats may succeed in their impeachment push. Let me just tell you this. From what I'm seeing, I think if the Democrats keep pushing this forward, it goes to a vote on the floor. That it goes to the Senate. It won't get past the Senate unless enough Republicans vote against Trump. Now, I don't know if enough Republicans are progressives, rhinos, to make that happen or not. But if it gets to that point, I think what happened during the Clinton impeachment will happen. What happened to the Republicans will happen to the Democrats. Already, reliable, trustworthy polling from Rasmussen is saying that more people are against impeachment than are for impeachment. I think it was 56%. I don't remember. It was either 53 or 56%. Even if it's 53%, that's well over half the people polled in the country are against this impeachment process. And they see it for what it is. That was another aspect of the poll, was that they see it as political, not justified. That it is a political ploy. So I think it's going to backfire on them. So I don't think there's a need to be afraid that the Democrats are going to succeed at what they're doing. I think enough people see through them and understand their shenanigans, and enough people are put off by it, that if anything, what this will do is it will make it hard for Democrats to succeed at much anything else. Because people are sick and tired of their shenanigans. They've been watching them. And I go back to what I said yesterday, and I've said it many times before. I think that is exactly the hand that Donald Trump is playing. I think he is playing this hand that draws the Democrats out into the light so that the American people can see what they really are. And the American people are responding exactly as he thought they would. They don't like what they're seeing. They just don't like what they're seeing. Now, the whistleblower thing. This is the latest chapter in the insanity. Well, the whistleblower who filed a complaint regarding President Donald Trump's talks with Ukrainian officials is fundraising. He or she is fundraising off the impeachment inquiry that has launched following the news. There's a GoFundMe requesting money for the whistleblower to help with legal fees. There is a campaign of sorts to help protect this whistleblower. They're trying to make it seem as though this whistleblower is in danger. I would say with confidence that the only thing this whistleblower has to be afraid of is the wrath of the Democrats should their plot fail. I'll just leave that there. Well, I was talking a little while ago about all the pots on the stove and how they're coming to a boil. And there's a commentary in the Wall Street Journal by Jared Harris. It was published a few days ago. It says an investigative journalist behind much of the original Watergate scandal reporting dropped a bombshell this week about Attorney General William Barr's rumored effort to expose the deep state. Carl Bernstein, who earned his fame by uncovering the massive scandal involving a break-in at the Watergate complex and the ensuing cover-up, revealed in a CNN interview last Thursday what his sources say Barr is preparing to do. Quote, Barr is trying to deliver, and I have this as I do other reporters from other sources, to deliver evidence that perhaps this has all been a deep state conspiracy, like Donald Trump alleges. The recent whistleblower complaint, like the fault-ridden Steele dossier before it, has been accused of being nothing more than part of the leftist establishment's plot to depose President Donald Trump. While it appears Bernstein is no fan of Trump, it's likely that the veteran journalist has trustworthy sources. So far, it appears the whistleblower complaint is not the bulletproof accusation Democrats and some Republicans seem to think it is. The complaint, written by someone who admits they were not a direct witness to much of what is contained in it, was a bombshell when it was publicly released earlier last week. But there are some major issues with the complaint that Democrats would like to ignore. Not only did the complaint's author not have much, if any, firsthand information about Trump's alleged misdeeds, but it was revealed earlier last week that the intelligence community inspector general had reportedly found the writer showed indications of possible political bias against Trump. If that's not enough to hint at a deep state effort to take down Trump, just look at who helped the whistleblower. The attorney representing and assisting the whistleblower once worked for both Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and former First Lady, Senator, Secretary of State, failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. The same lawyer works for a group called Whistleblower Aid, an organization formed during Trump's presidency that seeks to assist those wanting to speak out against the government. The group has previously placed targeted ads outside of the White House, the Pentagon, and other government buildings. With all of these players seemingly poised in unison against Trump, any evidence of a deep state conspiracy would hit Washington, D.C. like a nuclear bomb. If Barr has any proof that can unravel an alleged plot against Donald Trump, it would likely be the biggest political bombshell of our lifetimes. I believe that's exactly what's happening. I think this investigation is going on. I think people are in the deep state are very nervous about what's being uncovered. And they're working double time. They're working as hard as they can to spread as much dirt, stir up as much dust, and sling as much mud as possible, hoping that they can influence enough ignorant, uninformed people to sway the 2020 election. I firmly believe that's what's happening. That's what this impeachment push is all about. That's what the whistleblower thing is all about. They keep trying and they keep trying. It goes back to we've been hearing it from the beginning. We've been hearing this cry.
Impeach 45!
Since way back when?
Impeach 45!
Mad Maxine.
Impeach 45!
Has been making this push.
Impeach 45!
And like I've said before, I believe crazy Auntie Maxine has been in meetings where they have said, we're going to impeach this guy. And I believe the t-shirts being sold by one of the gang, one of the squad, that say, impeach the MF-er, and they use the entire words on the front of the t-shirt, I believe that's inspired by the content of meetings which have been had behind closed doors with the Democrats in the House. I think they've been planning this impeachment from day one, because they lost. They were defeated. And they can't handle it. And they want that power, that control that they had during the Obama years back. They're going through withdrawals. They gotta have the drug. And that drug is power. And they're scared to death they're going to be exposed. We'll expose some more tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. That's it for today. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.